Section 7, Character Building. Chapter 25, Education and Character.
The stability of thy times shall be wisdom and knowledge. True education does not ignore the value of scientific knowledge or literary achievements. But above information, it values power. Above power, goodness. Above intellectual acquirements, character. The world does not so much need men of great intellect as of noble character. It needs men in whom ability is controlled by steadfast principle. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Proverbs 4:7 and 15:2. True education imparts this wisdom. It teaches the best use, not only of one, but of all our powers and acquirements. Thus it covers the whole circle of obligation to ourselves, to the world, and to God. Character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings, and never before was its diligent study so important as now. Never was any previous generation called to meet issues so momentous. Never before were young men and women confronted by perils so great as confront them today. At such a time as this, what is the trend of education given? To what motive is appeal made most often? To self-seeking. Much of the education given is a perversion of the name. In true education, the selfish ambition, the greed for power, the disregard for the rights and needs of humanity that are the curse of the world, find a counter-influence. God's plan of life has a place for every human being. Each is to improve his talents to the utmost, and faithfulness in doing this, be the gifts few or many, entitles one to honor. In God's plan, there is no place for selfish rivalry. Those who measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Whatever we do is to be done as of the ability which God giveth. 1 Peter 4:11. It is to be done heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Precious the service done and the education gained in carrying out these principles. But how widely different is much of the education now given. From the child's earliest years, it is an appeal to emulation and rivalry. It fosters selfishness, the root of all evil. Thus is created strife for supremacy, and there is encouraged the system of cramming, which in so many cases destroys health and unfits for usefulness. In many others, emulation leads to dishonesty, and by fostering ambition and discontent, it embitters the life and helps to fill the world with those restless, turbulent spirits that are a continual menace to society. Nor does danger pertain to methods only. It is found also in the subject matter of the studies. What are the works on which, throughout the most susceptible years of life, the minds of the youth are led to dwell? In the study of language and literature, from what fountains are the youth taught to drink? From the wells of paganism? From springs fed by the corruptions of ancient heathendom? They are bidden to study authors of whom, without dispute, is declared that they have no regard for the principles of morality. And of how many modern authors also might the same be said? With how many are grace and beauty of language but a disguise for principles that in their real deformity would repel the reader? Besides these, there is a multitude of fiction writers luring to pleasant dreams in palaces of ease. These writers may not be open to the charge of immorality, yet their work is no less really fraught with evil. It is robbing thousands upon thousands of the time and energy and self-discipline demanded by the stern problems of life. In the study of science, as generally pursued, there are dangers equally great. Evolution and its kindred errors are taught in schools of every grade, from the kindergarten to the college. Thus, the study of science, which should impart a knowledge of God, is so mingled with the speculations and theories of men that it tends to infidelity. Even Bible study, as too often conducted in the schools, is robbing the world of the priceless treasure of the Word of God. The work of higher criticism and dissecting, conjecturing, reconstruction is destroying faith in the Bible as a divine revelation. It is robbing God's Word of power to control, uplift, and inspire human lives. As the youth go out into the world to encounter its allurements to sin, the passion for money-getting, for amusement and indulgence, for display, luxury, and extravagance, the overreaching, fraud, robbery, and ruin, what are the teachings there to be met? Spiritualism asserts that men are unfallen demagogues, that each mind will judge itself, that true knowledge places men above the law, and all sins committed are innocent, for whatever is right, and God doth not condemn. The basis of human beings it represents as in heaven, and highly exalted there. Thus it declares to all men, it matters not what you do, live as you please, heaven is your home. Multitudes are thus led to believe that desire is the greatest and highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself. With such teaching, given at the very outset of life, when impulse is strongest and the demand for self-restraint and purity is most urgent, where are the safeguards of virtue? What is to prevent the world from becoming a second Sodom? At the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine but human law. The centralizing of wealth and power, the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of the many, the combinations of the poor classes for the defense of their interests and claims, the spirit of unrest, of riot and bloodshed, the worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution, all are tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. Such are the influences to be met by the youth of today. To stand amid such upheavals, they are now to lay the foundations of character. In every generation and in every land, the true foundation and pattern for character building have been the same. The divine law, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself, Luke 10:27, the great principle made manifest in the character and life of our Savior, is the only secure foundation and the only sure guide. The stability of thy times and the strength of thy happiness shall be wisdom and knowledge, Isaiah 33:6, Leeser's translation. That wisdom and knowledge which God's Word alone can impart. It is as true now as when the words were spoken to Israel of obedience to His commandments. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, Deuteronomy 4:6. Here is the only safeguard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation. Amidst all life's perplexities and dangers and conflicting claims, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalms 19:8 and 15:5.